God's word for our meditation this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, help us see, help us hear, help us believe only you. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, God's great salvation, dear children of the Heavenly Father. 3 points. 3 points for safe tree climbing, according to my dad as we were growing up. Either 2 hands and 1 foot, or 2 feet and 1 hand. He would let us go way up high in those Douglas fir trees with the thick branches that hid the sky and the ground and those big sap bumples on the trunk. And I just remember my older brother, the daredevil of the family, always saying, "You know, those needles are 2 or 3 feet thick. Watch this, Mark. You can jump and bounce from one branch to the next, and it doesn't even hurt you. Mark, it doesn't hurt." Whatever. 3 points. Been a long time, but last week, my folks in Sun City, Arizona, needed some fruit trees stripped. The neighbor's orange tree, just a tall ladder leaning against the outside branches and hope it doesn't move. But that grapefruit tree, about 10 times more grapefruit than last year, it was better on the branches. 3 points, and a little love, got it done, and here I stand. 3 points for Zacchaeus. The little guy in the sycamore fig tree. Would you try to climb a tree for God? I don't mean climb a tree to God, because no tree is tall enough to reach to God. Would you climb a tree for God? Like Zacchaeus. And what were the 3 points that kept him from falling to his spiritual death? 3 points. Would you climb a tree for God if you were a man like this? You got to notice something about Zacchaeus. I don't want to be too hard on the short people, being of average height myself, but you know, Zacchaeus, he seems to have that little guy complex, right? I can just imagine if he had a car, he'd have to have a booster seat to see over the dashboard. You know, I don't know. Or those wooden blocks, you know, duct taped to his gas pedal and his brake pedal. You know, Zacchaeus, he's got this little guy complex, and he seems to have this attitude that if he can just get more money, it'll make him taller, have more power. It'll make him the big guy. But I can still see him every morning going to look in the mirror, and he's got to step up on a stool again just to see himself. He's a short little guy. And the money's not making him any taller. Money can't buy you happiness. Can't buy me love. Wasn't just true in 1964 for the Beatles. Still true today. Can't buy you friends either. Money can't make you taller. It can't extend your life even one second. So why in the world do we keep on trying? What is this about our human nature and our attitude just toward material things that we keep thinking it's all about money? Now, oh, not us. No, we know better. But have you noticed? I mean, you can't blame this on the politicians and the pundits. But if you listen to the way people talk, even if you listen to conservative talk radio, they got money on the mind. How often do you hear how important it is to defend the innocent unborn, the weak and the frail, the disabled? There was that one campaign that shut out everything that had to do with compassion with one sentence. Remember that? It's the economy, stupid. Remember that? And I don't care which side of the spectrum you're on. It's economy, economy, economy. We keep acting like everything is about money. And our worries and our cares and our fretting and maybe even our prayers to God are so heavy weighted with what Zacchaeus wanted that you wonder, will we never learn? Who is blind like my servant, the Lord says in Isaiah? Who's blind like us? We need to learn the lesson again and again. It can't make us taller. Each of us, the little guy, and no matter what kind of power or what kind of prestige or what kind of wealth we might amass in this life, it won't bring us one bit closer to God. It won't get us above the crowd. It won't get us above this mass of humanity that thinks everything revolves around the here and now and what I have and who I am in the eyes of everybody else. Little guy Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, entering Jericho, passing through. Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He needed to see. And what he needed to see is what we need of more churches and more preachers and more Christians saying what the Apostle Paul said to young Pastor Timothy in his first letter. Command those who are rich, that would be everybody in the wealthiest nation in the world. Even our poor are richer than most of the rest of the world. Travel sometime. Look around. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I love when God says that, because we tend to think of God as some stingy miser. You know, he's only going to give as much as you need. Sometimes even Christians will correct you and say, well, God will just give you what you need. No, that's not what the Bible says. That you heard it, didn't you? He gives us everything for our enjoyment. He's actually so generous that he gives us far beyond what we need, and yes, he wants us to enjoy it. So Zacchaeus wants to see. He's got one hand on the sycamore fig tree. He's climbing a tree for God. Climb, Zacchaeus. Climb. But don't hang on with one hand or one foot. What would be the second point of contact for Zacchaeus to keep him climbing the tree for God? He could see Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, who would guess this? He stopped. He looked up. And he spoke. Realize how awful that was in that society to speak to someone like that? You know what the law was in ancient times? Those tax collectors were the traitors. They were working for the Roman conquerors. He was a Jew, but he was working for the other side. The tax laws were a little bit different then. Back in Rome were the real publicans, the ones who actually would determine based on what they discussed with the emperor, how much they should tax on little Judea back there on the other side of the Mediterranean world. And so then they would appoint the semi-tax collectors, the guys in the middle, like Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. All right, you've got so and so many drachma, or dollars, to collect in your area. Well, tax collectors have to make a living. They determine what you would put on top of whatever Rome said. Imagine that. If the IRS agents were told to collect so much for Washington, and then they could determine how much on top of that they needed for themselves. Zacchaeus, there's something about you that's really disgusting to everybody. It seems like everybody wants to be your friend, but you really don't have any friends because you seem to need more than everybody else. And if someone ever wants to argue with a tax collector that works for Rome, you don't call the police. You call the army. You call the Roman soldiers. And the lesson is very clear to the poor citizens who live in Judea and throughout the Roman Empire. You can pay me now or you can pay me later after the pain, but you will pay. That was Zacchaeus' life. What would he expect waiting in the tree when this rabbi from Nazareth stops and looks up and speaks? Public ridicule? A scolding that everybody could hear? What does he get? This is how you can be surprised in the way this story is written. If you're Zacchaeus looking and he stops, you're maybe expecting, and what you get instead is a smile. He doesn't do like everybody else. This is a real smile that comes from his heart through his eyes. He's really smiling at you, and you can actually hear him say, "Zacchaeus, get down here. Hurry up. I'm going to stay at your house today." Best day of your life when Jesus comes to stay. 2 points. He's got a hand. He's got a foot. He is seeing, he is hearing. The little guy in the sycamore fig tree got a big invitation, and Jesus is coming to his house. Life's looking good, but not to everybody. Not everybody liked that. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." The choice Greek words in the original here is all about, you know, this man's occupation isn't so much tax collector. He is really a cheat and a liar. And this is beyond the pale for Jesus to talk to him, much less go over to his house, that he's going to eat with him like everything's fine. They've got great expectations, but their expectations are not as big as God's. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of whenever there's an execution. If you could go to that penitentiary in any state where the execution takes place, invariably there's a crowd of people outside cheering for the person to die. Even if you believe in capital punishment, as the Bible says, you know, allows for that. What's with these people cheering the death of someone else? Except that there is this ingrained self-righteousness in us that looks at others and says, "I'm better. I got to be better than that one. Got to be better than that tax collector." And they're all saying this, but they don't realize the expectations that God has. To fear, love, and trust in God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. And maybe that's what makes it hard for you to come through these doors sometimes. Maybe what you thought this week and what you did and what you said really weighs heavy on your heart, and you're looking at it honestly in the light, and you don't want to come into more light and say, wow, was I a jerk? I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that I let that go or that I didn't get that done again. All these great expectations that would keep us from coming into the house of God, you got to understand why people are afraid to come into the light. But you see Jesus. He comes to you. You hear him, and you see him smiling. You hear him saying to you, I'm coming over to stay with you. Let him come. 3 points, we only need one more. And Jesus fills in the blank how he got to the heart of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Who could prove it? I don't know that there was any documentation of how much Rome said they demanded so that you could compare that with how much was collected, that difference in between the cheating part of the tax collector. You can't prove it. And even if you could line up a whole bunch of witnesses that said this man is a liar and a cheat, it's legal. He's got the government on his side, and he's got the soldiers to back him up. There's no legal reason, not even from a scriptural standpoint, why Zacchaeus would have to do that. Old Testament, there was restitution 4, 5, 7 times more in some cases, but there's no way to prove it here. What is it that makes this tax collector do an about-face and in front of all his guests, including Jesus, make an offer like this? You know, he's not just making restitution of 400%. He's making an offering of 50% to God by taking care of the poor. He knows he sinned against God. And do you see here in the New Testament how New Testament Christians do not want to be bound by Old Testament tithes? The old 10%? There's many cases. That's just not enough. When you see Jesus and you hear Jesus, and the third point, Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Just because he was Jewish didn't make him a son of Abraham. It's not ethnicity and bloodline. He believed in the God of Abraham. The faith was there. For the Son of Man who came to seek and to save what was lost. Third point, he not only could see and hear, he believed. He trusted that this Jesus was his answer to God. Would you climb a tree for God? You would if you knew that God climbed a tree for you. You know that they could not have nailed him to that cursed tree unless he was submitting to his heavenly Father's will. And you know it wasn't the nails that held him there. As the crowds are jeering, he saved others. He can't save himself. He ignores it. And he hangs there. He keeps hanging there in spite of the fact that he could get himself down and destroy his enemies. He destroys our enemy death by dying and rising again. He pays our debt of cheating and lying and stealing in ways that we don't even know we did. And the coveting and the discontent and the materialism and all that goes with that, he paid that debt by loving us even unto death. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. He seeks us. He sees us. He stops. He speaks. He invites himself over. He gives us the faith to receive him and receive him with joy, so that those last words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy come true for us too. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see, you hear, you believe. 3 points. Climb the tree for God. He climbed a tree for you. Amen. Please rise.